fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is a Monday. Hey, greatest day of the week, man. We are setting the tone. We are rocking it for another day, and we are moving closer. It is officially, at least here where I'm from, it is officially spring break. The kiddos off for an entire week. Can you believe that, man? I remember back in the day. It's not springtime yet, though. It's kind of sort of teasing to be spring, but you would think it would be just a little bit later. The nice part is St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner. We're a week away from that. And there is a significance to it because we have gone a three-month stretch with no holidays, no time off, no celebrations, and it's getting to be a bit of a drag. Now, the rest of the year, we have one about once a month. We have some time we can take off. We get to enjoy the family and friends or the 4th of July or whatever we do throughout the year. But that three-month stretch, man, it's been tough. So we're here now to actually celebrate it. And then, can you believe it, Easter right around the corner as well. Not to speed up 2024 for you, but you're welcome as we kick off a Monday here. Broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, and our flagship radio station. We are all over the country. Multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen to the show. Your Millennial General reporting for duty like we do every single day. Big show lined up as usual. Andre Archie, he'll be joining us on the program at the bottom of the hour. The Virtue of Colorblindness is his book. We'll talk about identity politics, why we're so fascinated with people's skin color and what that has to do with politics nowadays. Why the left side of the aisle always has to focus on it. They used to say before, I mean, they were racist then, and they're still racist today, but they use it in a different way, saying that if you are a certain skin color, you have to be a Democrat, you have to vote progressive because you are a victim of society. Now, they created the victimization of society, and they created what they call the quote-unquote systematic racist system that we have, but now it's a problem, and they want to fight against it tooth and nail. So we'll talk about some of that and more coming up on the program in just a little bit. Show of hands, how many people actually watched the Oscars yesterday? Anybody? I did not watch it. I don't care about the Oscars. There really has not been a new movie out at all that I've enjoyed, wanted to watch. The only ones that I've paid attention to have been John Wick, the John Wick series. John Wick 4, I believe, was the latest one that came out, and that was a few months ago. That was a great one. Why that didn't win an Oscar, I don't know, because that's probably one of the best movies of the year. Just throwing that out there. Little voice of reason. Over the weekend, we watched Aquaman 2 because she is fascinated. I know that she's going to be in good taste because she's 9 years old. Her absolute crush right now in Hollywood is Jason Momoa in Aquaman. She loves Aquaman. So we got to watch the second one. She thoroughly enjoyed that. That's nice. Outside of that, there is a movie coming up, I want to say this next weekend or two, where it is the new Roadhouse. I know some people are going to get mad at me. I don't care. But Conor McGregor is going to be in that one as the bad guy in Roadhouse. So I'm looking forward to that movie as well. Outside of that, I have no interest in seeing a lot of what's going on. Oh, what is it? The Honeybee or the Bumblebee or whatever the movie is with Jason Statham in it. Highly recommend that one as well. Really good movie. Action movie. It's about darn time that we start bringing back true, real action movies. I am so sick and tired of the CGI. I'm sick and tired of the green screens. I'm sick and tired of the superheroes. I'm sick and tired of the super magical powers. I don't want that anymore. I just want a nice, awesome action movie with a semi-decent story, some really cool cheesy one-liners, and the super action hero of that sense. That's what I want. Can I just have those back, please? And I would be insanely happy. So nonetheless, I did not watch the Oscars. Apparently, Oppenheimer was the big winner last night, which, okay, cool, whatever. I've seen about, I don't know, 10 minutes of it, and that was about it. But the spectacle last night apparently came to the fact that Jimmy Kimmel, one of the late night talk shows hosts, was the guy hosting and moderating the event last night and had to call out Donald Trump for a tweet that he made on his Truth Social.
I'm really proud of something. I was wondering if I could share it with you. I just got a review, and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopanopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. See if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth Social. Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still... Isn't it past your jail time?
Very funny. Very funny. That was cute. Jimmy Kimmel, not a fan of him. I know he's been against Donald Trump for a very long time, but pathetic types of jokes. If that was the jokes that we saw throughout the Oscars, I'm really glad that I didn't actually watch that one. But Jimmy Kimmel, not one of my favorites. I have not watched a late night talk show, honestly, since Craig Ferguson left after David Letterman. Yeah, David Letterman left, and then Craig Ferguson apparently was supposed to get that slot. He didn't get the slot because CBS didn't like him, and then they waited until his contract expired and paid him out as well. So there is that. But Jimmy Kimmel being a ridiculous host, and I just don't care. I really don't care about any of that. The only one I really enjoyed was, what was his name, Ricky Gervais, when he just railed on all the actors because he doesn't like the elitism either. But that's really what it is. It's the elites getting together and talking about how great they are and patting themselves on the back. So hopefully you did not spend or waste your time actually watching the Oscars last night. If you did, though, I'm wondering if there was any actually decent movies that were out there. All right, let's get into what's trending today. What do you say?
What's trending today?
If that's what passes for jokes, too, by the way, which apparently he was told not to do that joke on stage, but he did it anyways. But if that's what passes for jokes, I'm so glad that I don't watch any late night TV. Speaking of jokes, the Donald Trump campaign is building steam while the Biden administration is still making a laughingstock out of themselves. That's the main joke of the day. While Joe Biden is continuing his Invest in America tour, trying to talk about all the great stuff he's doing for the country. Now, as you know, last week on Thursday was the State of the Union address where he got a little angry and he yelled, I don't know, the entire hour plus long speech that he gave. And he said some ridiculous stuff. He didn't know what he was talking about. He got caught off guard with the whole immigration thing. He called people illegal. And then when asked about it afterwards, he redoubled down on the whole illegal thing and said, well, they're technically not supposed to be here. Then he was told, hey, stop saying illegal. You're not. That is the Democrat platform, is they're undocumented dreamers. They're the most wonderful, wonderful, beautiful people on the face of the earth. It's like the message. Remember when we had to go with the whole Caitlyn Jenner deal, and we weren't allowed to say that she wasn't our hero, that we're not proud because we really just don't care. And the left, with their PC-ness back in the day, lost their minds. No, Caitlyn Jenner is the most beautiful person on the face of the earth, and if you don't agree with that, then you are evil and terrible and totally un-PC. Remember that? That's now where we're at with illegal immigration, because he doubled down afterwards and said, yeah, well, they're technically not supposed to be here. Then he was spoken to by his team, and then the media tried it again. Are you really upset, or did you really regret saying the word illegal? And then he came out, oh, of course it's undocumented. I shouldn't have said illegal. While we're talking about, you know, the death of Lakin Riley, someone who shouldn't have died because of an illegal alien. Nonetheless, they've tried to clean up that PR mess, and they've now continued on with their Investing in America tour. Well, during the State of the Union, the president's also supposed to release the federal budget proposal from the executive branch. Now, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. For those that don't know the process, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek process. The president or the executive branch does not do anything with the budget. So the request is, this is what I'd like to see in Congress. Hopefully you'll take it up and actually work with it as kind of a guideline when you start crafting the budget. And 99.999% of the time, Congress wraps it up, throws it into the request bin in the corner of the office, and then continues to do what they're doing. So it's going to be no different. But Joe Biden did not, on State of the Union night, actually propose his budget. He didn't do it. When did he do it? Well, he just did it over the weekend, or Monday, today, by proposing a near record-breaking $7.4 trillion federal budget. Oh, yes. $7.4. Now, to put this into perspective for you, right now we are sitting at near $6.2 trillion. Oh, yes, 6.2. Now, that $6.2 trillion is up from right around the $4 to $4.5 trillion spending level that we were at prior to COVID-19. So 6.2 is a substantial amount. He wants a $7.4 trillion federal budget for 2025. Again, just to put this in a little bit more context for you, Last year in 2022, we spent $6.13 trillion. So we're right around that, a little bit higher for this year in 2024. That's without even passing a federal budget because we've only passed half of our appropriations bills until the rest of this week when they vote on the rest of them. And then 6 months into our fiscal year, we'll actually have a kind of sort of federal budget that we're going to go off of. So the 2025 budget conversation is beginning. And we're up slightly from what we were last year, which is already sitting at right around 23 to 24% of our entire GDP. Now, I remember back in the day, if you remember this way back when, that before we used to have laws when we would pass a federal budget, that you were not allowed to go past anywhere between 17 to 18% of the GDP on how much the government's supposed to be spending. Now, that's the budget alone. I know this is a lot of numbers for you, so just bear with me for a second. At a $6.2 trillion federal budget, we're sitting at roughly between 23 to 24% of our GDP, meaning all the money that we're producing in the private sector, how big our economy actually is based on what we're doing, because government doesn't produce wealth, the private sector does. Out of all of that wealth that we're creating, they're spending equivalent to 24% of that. They're taking 24% and they're spending it. Now, with the debt that's also there, where we're getting closer and closer to only paying near $1 trillion on interest alone, our total debt ratio right now is 102% of our GDP. If you took every penny from man, woman, child, business, and corporation across the entire nation, we would still be 2% short on all the debt that we have in the nation. That's not including the 23% of what we're doing for our regular budget. So if something with this like this would go through, we would be sitting at 125% of our GDP on debt and spending for a fiscal year. That is a major problem. And Joe Biden wants to go even higher by sitting at 7.4%. 7.4 trillion dollars. I don't know how that's feasible. I'm not quite sure how that's possible. And thank God we have a Congress that's going to bundle that up and throw that into the request bin in the corner of the office, because that's laughable at why we would even go higher when we're looking at needing to do major serious cuts. In fact, Congress, Republican House, hint, hint, wink, wink, if you want the elections to do well and actually do what you said you were going to do as conservative Republicans, I want us to go from the $6.2 trillion that we're at back down to about the $4.5 trillion that we were spending really prior to COVID-19. I know that that's not going to be possible right now, but in order for us to get back on track and actually pay for our bills substantially, that's what we have to do. Now, in order to compensate for that, Joe Biden's budget proposal advocated for massive tax increases, and I'm talking major ones. Now, during the State of the Union, he said that he wanted it for just the rich individuals, the millionaires and billionaires that aren't paying for any taxes and all this crap that we know is an absolute lie. But they're already being squeezed. That means that the fact that millionaires and billionaires, the top 1% of the nation, already pay over 45-46% of all federal income tax in the country, which means they're going to either have to be squeezed more, or the biggest piece of the pie is the middle class that's already being squeezed. And Joe Biden's federal budget advocates for the increase of taxes in the sum of $3 trillion. $3 trillion in additional tax revenue. Revenue's down, by the way, 15% this year compared to last year already. I'm talking in the federal budget. So as of October to now, the first 6 months of the fiscal year, we're down 15% in revenue because the economy, the Bidenomics, is starting to catch up to people. And if it's starting to catch up to people, we're not spending as much. And he wants to raise taxes to offset that and increase revenue by $3 trillion. Where's that coming from?
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Reason, common sense, rationale. That's just what we do here on this program. I know I threw a lot of numbers at you, and I know that numbers aren't really the sexiest thing to do on radio because your eyes kind of glaze over. And especially when we're talking in the T's, the trillions of dollars, we can't really put a perspective onto this one. So It's difficult, I understand, but it's really important for us to understand what's going on here. Government spending and debt together are sitting at near 125% of our GDP. If you take every penny out of the private sector, man, woman, and child, we become a complete socialist communist nation, and we find every bit of wealth that you have in your checking account, underneath your mattress, every piggy bank that you have, we are still 25% short to cover all the debt that we have in this nation. That's insane. When we're supposed to be one of the biggest economies in the entire world. So we have a serious problem, and the Biden administration doesn't get it because they're out there on the campaign trail right now talking about investing in America. How great this is. Bailouts for student loans and more money for this and more money for that. And if you heard the State of the Union, that's all it was. More money here, more money there, more money here. And that's what he thinks is going to solve the problems. It's not. In fact, it's making it worse. But that's where we're at today. Revenue's down. That's probably one of the biggest things to take away from this is that revenue's down 15%. Now, still up near 8% from 2019, so prior to COVID-19, but still down 15% on a year-to-year basis in 2023 compared to 2022 at this time. What does that mean? That means that the entire time that they've told us that fourth quarter's doing great, that we're not in a recession, that people are still spending the same amount of money, it's all a fabricated lie. It's not true because you're starting to cut back. Now, some aren't, which is why we're seeing credit card debts going at peak levels, because Bidenomics is so expensive, we're trying to maintain our current lifestyles without having to cut back. So we've reverted to actually paying for things on our credit cards just to maintain, and that's not a good policy. I don't know about you, but when I do my personal family, my family budget, that just trying to put my bills on the credit card is not a good thing because soon I get to pay for the regular bill and my credit card payment, and then it's not going to be feasible, and then we start slipping downhill. That's the dumbest thing that you can do, aka younger generation that thinks credit cards are really, really cool. Not the best plan for you. So we're starting to cut back finally, and now the revenue's going down. They're telling us we're not in a recession, but all the numbers are pointing towards we're going towards recession. In January of this year, we saw one of the biggest mass layoffs across the nation post the holidays. So the businesses they hired on the temporary help, they got all the stuff they needed for the holidays, the Black Friday shopping, the holiday shopping, and then boom, they laid everybody off. Now we're back to square one.
Well, Andy, they're seeing job creation.
Yeah, we're still seeing some job creation, not the 15 million that Joe Biden said over the past 3 years, but we're seeing some job creation, a little bit. But now with the social programs that are being increased, the illegal migration that we're seeing that's also getting a lot of the food stamps and social programs and housing and everything else, then the student loan bailouts. Where does this stuff end? And going from $6.2 trillion to $7.4 trillion, over a $1 trillion increase, when we're seeing a debt increase by near $3 trillion a year, it's not feasible. We can't do that. Luckily, the House of Representatives has said, not going to fly. Mike Johnson coming out saying that this is dead on arrival and that there's no way this is going to happen. What I would like to see, hopefully, fingers crossed, is that now that we've passed half of our appropriations, we pass the second round of appropriations, we get working on the 2025, and we keep those appropriations and then knock everything down 2 to 5%. That's what we have to do. And if you, I'm telling you right now, Republicans, if you make that promise with still the economy and personal spending and the federal budget being one of the top priorities, especially for Republicans, if you make that promise and say, here's our levels from our federal budget this year that we're passing finally, and then we knock that down a few more percentage points for the 2025 and we're sticking to that, but we need Republican help in both chambers and a presidency to make it happen. If you run that campaign, you will win. You will win. People are still angry about the difference in inflation and the prices between prior to Joe Biden, during the Trump administration, and what we're seeing right now. They can lie about it all they want to, but the economy is not in good shape, and we're very well aware of that. Andre Archie coming up right around the corner here on The Voice of Reason. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back into it. Thanks for out today. Off a whole another week. It's a change, right? If you live in a state that does do the time change thing, hopefully you have adjusted appropriately. I always get sponsored. I talked a little bit about it on the syndicated program over the weekend that some people just don't like time change thing. They want it to stay stagnant, which some states do. Arizona, I believe. Indiana, I believe. They all Some other states that don't do the time change, but I don't mind it. It's not that big of a deal. It's really okay. We're all going to be all right. Everybody calm down. It's all going to be okay. Take a deep breath here on the show. It's all going to be okay. But the time change did happen. So it's nice that it happens on a Sunday so you can actually get adjusted appropriately. So you're still maybe a little bit groggy on Monday, but not too bad. Welcome back into the program. Andre Archie, he'll be joining us momentarily. Not able to get a hold of him. I think he's busy doing another one. I know that he was doing some back-to-back interviews, kind of a popular guy. But we'll chat with him in a moment. The Virtue of Color Blindness is his book as we talk about some identity politics. Speaking of the daylight savings time, there has been, I always laugh because there's always a push in Kansas, at least, state legislature every year to try and end it. And I have to admit, it was really nice this morning when I was driving into work. It was actually like the time where the sun was coming up. I got to see the sunrise, and it was kind of neat. It wasn't still completely dark. It wasn't super bright already. It was the night and actually come to work with it slowly coming up and actually get to start my day properly. So I kind of enjoyed it. I don't care what anybody else says. It's the adjustment. I know that there's like a, you know, increase in heart attacks. Really? Really? All you got to do is just get adjusted for a day. Just a day, and you're just fine. All right, let's get to the latest and what's trending in Washington, D.C. What do you say?
What's trending today?
So the latest has been the crackdown on TikTok. The latest hearings have been discussing on whether we're going to shut down TikTok in the United States or at least force them to sell from ByteDance, or at least have ByteDance, the company that actually owns TikTok, to move away from the CCP, the Communist Chinese Party, and that they would be able to go independent and walk away from the Chinese government, which more than likely is not going to happen, obviously, because, well, the Chinese government runs everything in the country. So there's not a whole lot that's out of their purview. So more than likely, either they sell it to a third party independent company outside of China, or it continues to be a Chinese run entity. And I understand, as I've said before, I understand the concerns of what China could be doing. They're trying to monitor everything that we're doing. They're trying to get an understanding of what we're like. They're trying to send us maybe some fake information. I'm sure they are. Wouldn't put it past them. Why the heck not? But I'm very cautious about some of these pushes to ban the platform of TikTok. And the reason I say that is for a few different reasons, and we've mentioned them on the program before, but this continues to be the issue, and here's a warning to Republicans, again, because I'm hearing it from Republicans saying, we need to get rid of this. I warn you that if you're pushing to ban TikTok, do not turn yourself out to be a hypocrite. Do not become the hypocrite where you're just virtue signaling by pushing to ban this because you're concerned about China. We are concerned about China. I understand the concern with China, but I have to admit right now in the immediate future, I am more concerned about our federal government than I am about the Chinese government. I know that China is a major threat. They want to topple us. They want to infiltrate us, but we're doing a good enough job at infiltrating ourselves and damaging ourselves. China doesn't need to assist in that. Maybe they're throwing the nice little wrenches in the system to make that even worse, but we have to be very wary of what we advocate for here. Let's just go down the road for an example, and let's just go down the theory of if we ban TikTok in the nation. And if it's anywhere similar to what the last bill was like they tried to push, it wouldn't just be TikTok, but it would be, quote-unquote, any foreign-based social media site that had servers outside of the nation that they would ban in a bill like that. So let's just say they want to do the same thing here, because that's what they want to do. They want all the control here to be in the United States. What would be left? Donald Trump has recently changed his position on this as well, saying that he doesn't want to give more power to Facebook. And while the media and even some Republican pundits are like, oh, that's a bunch of crap. We just know we need to get rid of TikTok. I understand the argument, and I'm glad he's changed this position and that he's shifted to understand this a little bit deeper, is that right now the major platforms in the country, what are the major social media platforms that you use? If you're on social media, what do you use? Personally, me, I use Facebook. I use Twitter. And I try to use YouTube, but YouTube doesn't like me a whole lot, so they block me and ban me. Rumble, I have to say, I'm glad that we have Rumble. I'm glad that it's a conservative alternative. I can't stand Rumble personally because I can't watch more than 15 seconds of a video without an ad popping up. YouTube's getting bad as well, where they interrupt your program or interrupt the video that you're watching with an ad, but it's not every 15 seconds. I can't concentrate and actually pay attention to a video on Rumble without an ad interrupting me, and I can't do it. So I'm not on, I have a Rumble account. I don't use Rumble very much, but if Rumble, Dan Bongino, others that are running the company of Rumble, I understand you need to make revenue, but can you not make it interrupt every 15 to 20 seconds, literally, because it drives me nuts and I can't do it. I just can't watch it. But let's just talk about the major platforms in the nation. Facebook, YouTube, and let's say X or Twitter. Twitter's about the safest one for us as conservatives because Elon Musk purchased it. It's now a private entity. But Facebook is still a major platform, maybe not for the younger generations because they're mostly on the Instagram, which is owned by Facebook and Meta, or they're on TikTok, which they want to actually get rid of. So where are they going to go? I think Snapchat's one too. I don't know much about Snapchat, and you can't do anything with it really except for like do photos. So that's kind of a dumb one. I'm not involved with Snapchat. Outside of that, let's just say that TikTok's gone. Where are they going to go? They're going to go towards Facebook, I think, and the Instagram where they had the short videos. YouTube also starting to do short videos like TikTok. Who's controlling those? It's Meta. It's Mark Zuckerberg, which means now he has all the information. He has the ability for the content control. He has the ability to decide what's going to be political and non-political on these sites. And he's the one still selling your information, not only to advertisers to personalize the messaging to you, but also personalize the government's data collection that they're getting. Then we can look at YouTube, which is now owned by Google as well. And if you have a Gmail account or if you use Google at all, they own YouTube. So now you're getting filtered information from there as well. You have your phone where you have your GPS that's being tracked. You have your phone with the metadata collection from the federal government with your text messages and your phone calls and your web browser and everything that you do there. Please tell me why we're so concerned about banning TikTok, but we're not talking about any of these other ones. I have yet to get an elected official on this program to tell me that, yeah, you know what? Yeah, China's a bad issue. We need to address China. We need to address TikTok. But I'm also concerned about YouTube and by Google and by Facebook and by all these other ones. I'm concerned about these and we need to address it as well. We've had the hearings. Government's done the hearings on these, and yet we don't get anywhere. We get Mark Zuckerberg up there. We get Jack Dorsey. He used to be the owner of Twitter up there. And they're like, well, I don't know. And they give no information. Well, I don't know. We'll have to look into that. Hey, how come this account was canceled and shadow banned to where it didn't have any algorithm? Well, we'll have to look into it. I don't know. We never got any information on those. And we have a generation up in Washington, D.C. that's a little bit on the older side, not to make fun of the older generation, but the ones that probably don't understand the techno jargon that's being discussed by these younger generations creating these things. They're from a different time. And while they may use these sources and use the social media sites, they probably don't understand the technology that goes behind it to actually make it function. So we're going on deaf ears here. We're concerned about it. And then we try to pass a bill that gives the ability for all foreign-based social media sites just to be eliminated. Now, if I was looking at information, which the vast majority of vast majority of younger generations look at news and look at information not on news sites but on and through social media, wouldn't you just be a little bit concerned about the information you're getting on YouTube, getting on Facebook, getting on Google? When the government's controlling it, they're in cahoots with the companies that are actually running these things. They're filtering the content. They're silencing some of the content. They're deleting some of the content. They're creating the algorithm. They're shadow banning individuals. And you're expecting us to just go along with that and say, yeah, sure, okay, let's get our sources from these social media sites, but we can't do it from a foreign-based one that may have some different information. And when the different information's there, then our government says it's nothing but just propaganda from fake news stories from China and from other sources. And you know what? It very well may be. But just like we talk about here, where we have to have the freedom of expression and the freedom of the content for us to decide, we should be able to have access to it and then decipher what's true and what's not true. But with this ban on TikTok, it is the virtue signaling from the right side and some from the left side, where they say they're concerned about China. I'm concerned about China. Why didn't we blow up the balloon that was flying over the nation collecting all of our data and taking photos, wondering where our military bases are, whatever the hell that they were trying to gather information on? Why weren't we concerned about that? Well, we were. I take that back. We were, as Republicans, the other side of the aisle. The Democrats were not. But we're all of a sudden concerned about TikTok. Now, if you use social media, and if you understand it, again, you can't knock it until you actually understand it. I'm on TikTok, and I scroll through it. I don't see, quote-unquote, fake information. Because number one, I probably aren't looking for that type of content because it's not really a lot of political stuff that I look on TikTok. But if I did, then I would listen to somebody and it's somebody in their basement in their home talking about this stuff. And you look at it and you're like, all right, that's an interesting concept. Now I'm going to go research it to make sure that it's actually valid or not. And while I understand some people don't do that, we're seeing the same stuff on YouTube and on Facebook and on Instagram as well, and we're expecting to just go along and blindly follow that when that one is regulated by our government to make sure that no fake information is going out there. Are you seeing the trend? Are you seeing the concern here? Why is TikTok right now the scarecrow and the fake argument and the false rage, the faux rage that we're seeing right now from some in Washington, D.C., saying that that's enemy number one when we have some way bigger fish to fry? Our government has said that we are domestic terrorists. Our government has said that we are the most extreme political organization, meaning MAGA and Republicans and conservatives, in the history of this nation. They're the ones collecting our data, and no one's saying a thing.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. So TikTok apparently a little shocked and surprised about the legislation, according to the Wall Street Journal, where the bill has voted out of committee and is headed to the House floor, where they're expected to vote on this bill on Wednesday this week. It voted 50-0 in the House Energy and Commerce Committee. 50-0. Now, on this vote to BC, and I saw a couple comments about, well, let's get the younger generation involved in something like this. They did. In fact, TikTok advocated for the younger generation, those that are on TikTok, to call elected officials, which they did en masse. They were calling cell phones. They were texting. They were blowing up office lines. They were blowing up a lot of these elected officials' lines about this bill. And according to the news reports, they say that many Republicans, it only encouraged them and deepened their hatred against TikTok and deepened their secured vote on this bill because of the outpouring of the young generation. So take that one as you will. But they're not liking the fact that TikTok told users to actually call. And they say that that just encouraged them to vote for it even more. Now, according to TikTok, they say that the company has not received any requests from the Chinese government for any of the data that they have from the company of ByteDance, that they haven't gotten it, and they would not comply even if they did receive a request from that. You can take that with a grain of salt. That probably is not true. Just throwing that out there. They probably have given the government much of that information, but they say that they have not. You can't trust it. You can't believe it. But at the same time, does it really matter? I say, while that is a cause for concern, I just reiterate the point of why are we not just as irate about the same issues happening here in our country with our own government collecting our own data? I mean, we have smart cars coming out with electric vehicles where they know exactly where you're at. We have cell phones that are now smartphones that are like, you know, computers that have a phone application on them where they know exactly who you're texting, exactly what you're talking about, and exactly where you're at all times with the GPS on your phone. So they're double whammying you. If we put in now, there's talk about numerous different states that are going from a gas tax to a mileage tax. Then the companies want to put another device in your vehicle to know exactly how many miles you've driven to know how to tax you properly for your mileage there as well. I talked about that on our weekend program. So there's tons of different ways where they're following everything that you're doing. My biggest concern is that if the vast majority of the younger generation is getting their information from social media, getting their news from social media, which is not a credible source, so that's a cause for concern in the first place. But if they are, why would we only solely be based on the news that's coming out from social media that's controlled by our government instead of, even though some of it may be false, obviously, we don't start getting perspectives from outside of the country, from companies and sites and social media sites that are based outside of the U.S., out of our jurisdiction. But this is nothing more than our government concerned about losing control of the narrative and losing control of the dialogue by outside forces that are countering some of the information that we're allowed to see through their content screening, through their content filtering, through their algorithms and their shadow banning. And I'm not okay with that. I'm sorry. I'm not okay with that. And we have to address our issues first before we can start looking at some of the threats coming abroad, because I will reiterate what so many elected officials and politicians and presidents have said throughout the decades here in the United States, that there will not be an outside force that can destroy the U.S. It will be coming from within. And right now, they're doing a good job at stirring the pot, making us bicker amongst ourselves. And right now, we have to be strong. And the only way we can be strong is to make sure our government isn't militarizing themselves against us through the CIA, through the FBI, through the IRS, and through these all other alphabetic agencies that are coming after us with regulations, taxes, and so on and so forth. Let's address that. Then we can worry about China coming after us, because China is a threat. I don't think they'll militarily invade us, but they'll try and cause some issues. And if they're going to cause some issues, we need to be strong here, which means we need all the information. We're not getting that in the first place. Not to mention, if you're on social media, I would say go to a site and actually look it up. Go to the website. Go to TikTok and just scroll through and see what you get, because there's some interesting stuff on there. There's some weird stuff on there. You know what I get on my TikTok? I get live people that are playing guitars on heavy metal songs, and, well, that's about it. That's about it. Mine's mostly music. So guess what? I'm not being infiltrated with misinformation and fake news on there, because I don't even pay attention. That's not what I use social media for. If they are using it for that, then hopefully they're smart enough to filter it through. But what's to say that the information I'm getting on Facebook isn't the same? Misinformation, the drops, the filtering, the censoring, the shadow banning. I'm not okay with any of it. Do all or do nothing. But stop virtue signaling and pretending like you really, really care about the youth of America with the content that they're absorbing, when we're not doing that for our own companies here in the U.S. Stop being hypocrites. I'm not okay with that. Back at it again tomorrow. We got a lot of stuff to talk about then. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. It's time for you to speak up, speak out, speak loud, speak proud, speak the truth, and always speak some reason. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.